show of hands, who knows what happened at the Elah Valley? Can you bring up the first slide, Zach? Got my pointer. This is the Elah Valley. It's in Israel, of course. And you can see it kind of runs through the middle of two hilltops here. And something happened in the Elah Valley that was centuries in the making before the two main combatants here, their entire life had been leading up to the Elah Valley, what's going to take place here. An enemy still lived in the land. And the enemy lives there because the Israelites failed to drive them out of the land when God told them, drive these people out of the land. They were fierce and they hated Israel and they were very powerful. They were the most powerful enemies that Israel had. God told his people, eliminate these people, and they didn't. So we've all heard the story a thousand times. It took place here in the Elah Valley, okay? So we're going to try to add something new to it today. 1 Samuel 7:1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at, how do you pronounce that? What is it? At Socoh, which belongs to Judah. You can notice something very important to learn here in this one verse. Look at this. Whose land are we on here? Tribe of Judah. When they came across the Jordan River, remember last week, and they came into the Promised Land, Moses had already divided up where these tribes went, and then that passed on to Joshua, and then he, when they conquered the Promised Land, he told them where to go. So the Philistines are living in the land that God told Judah to drive out, and they're still living in the land because they didn't do what God told them to do. Their enemies grown more and more powerful here due to the lack of the action on the Israelis' part. 1 Samuel 7:2. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. So this is it. Finally, Israel's ready to eliminate the Philistines from the land. It's been a long time coming, 1,000 years. We should point out here that this was no small army unit, by the way. It wasn't just a few guys. 1 Samuel 17:19 says that all the men of Israel were gathered here. Specifically, when the Bible says that, it means all the men of fighting age between the ages of 20 and 40. So he probably had 100,000 guys here, gathered here to go to war with the Philistines. 1 Samuel 17:3. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Can you bring up next slide, please, Zach? So here we are. Here's the Elah Valley. Here's where the Philistines were. And here's where the Israelis are. And so they got their whole army over here, hundreds of thousands of guys, and they got their 100,000 guys, and they're ready to go to battle here. There's a military reason why they wanted to stay here, and they wanted to stay here, and nobody wanted to go here. You guys have been in the military, know the reason. Can you bring up slide 3, please, Zach? This is Seminary Ridge, Little Round Top in Gettysburg. It's seen looking down from Gettysburg. You been here? It's a sign looking down. This is where the North was encamped. Here's about a mile in between here and here. The Confederates, the South, their troops were all hidden back here in the trees, and the Union troops were up here. They occupied the high ground. This was the final day of the Battle of Gettysburg. It was July 3rd, 1863. And General Robert E. Lee, who was a very devout Christian, by the way, after the war, I don't know if you guys know this, after the Civil War, Grant and Lee came together, and they didn't say, okay, we want you guys to pay for this, and we want you to do this. Everybody just went home. And they did that because Grant and Lee were both Christians. And they said, enough of this, let's just call it a day and go home and end this war. And so there, this is where the battle takes place. So Lee orders General Pickett, who's George Pickett, and he's got his guys back here, and he orders them to charge across this field and attack the Union troops. This is one of the greatest blunders in U.S. military history. But Lee had a reason for doing this. This is the third and final day of Gettysburg. And in the first 2 days, the South won victory after victory after victory in the little skirmishes against the North. So Lee was pretty confident that they could come over here and conquer the North. Pickett had 15,000 troops. He's going about against about 6,500 for the North. But the South was defeated. And Gettysburg became the most costly battle in terms of lives lost in American history. General Lee, this is the last time he would ever get this far north. Both sides wanted the high ground. See, these guys are shooting from the high ground, and they're shooting down on these guys here. You have a huge advantage. There's no place to hide. You can be behind a tree, behind a rock, and it don't make any difference. But if you're shooting up, you have a smaller target. All you're seeing is the guy's head peeking up behind the tree. So you got a smaller target. So everybody wants the high ground. And this is what brings us into David and Goliath. Slide 2 again, please, Zach. So you can see as we get into this, why they didn't want to leave the high ground and charge across this valley, and they didn't want to leave the high ground and charge across this valley. Because it's like sitting ducks when you enter that no man's land. At this point, it appears as though the battle is imminent. Both sides are drawn up against each other. The actual fighting, however, is over a month away. For a month, these guys are going to hang out here, and these guys are going to hang out here. 40 days and 40 nights. Israel had its entire military on guard here. But here's the thing you need to remember. As they're gathered here, David's three older brothers are over here with the Israelis, and they're in the military. David's nowhere to be found at this point. David's not with these guys. He's back home tending the sheep. Listen, this is a lesson in humility. Before this, Samuel had already anointed David back here. You're going to be the next king of Israel, David. Now, David's not out strutting around. I'm the guy. Your days are numbered, Saul. I'm coming for your job. David's like, okay, whatever you say. And now he's back here tending the sheep. This is a lesson in humility. David's waiting on God to do what God says he'll do in God's timing. So when Samuel, by the way, when Samuel came to anoint David, he was doing it as a priest and a prophet. Samuel's an interesting character in the Bible. He was sent as a prophet by God. The succession goes, Elijah passed the mantle to Eli, who passed the mantle to Samuel. And so we've come to this point in David and Goliath when he's anointing the next king of Israel. Samuel was a priest, a prophet, and the Bible tells us the last judge of Israel. After the book of Judges ends, it tells us, and there were two more judges in Israel, with Samuel being the last one. So he's the only person in the Old Testament that held all three offices. Same thing that Jesus holds, priest, prophet, and king, judge. So Samuel, in a way, is an image of Christ in the Old Testament. David and everybody else knew that when Samuel the prophet spoke, it was as good as done. It was a done deal. So as we begin our David versus Goliath story, keep in mind that this is not something that David sought out. Even when he comes to the battlefield, he's not coming looking for a fight with Goliath. He's tending dad's sheep. But notice this, there's a time to prepare and a time to act. And David, because he stayed close to God, knew when it was time to do each one. 1 Samuel 17:4. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Okay, now listen, you're going to read that Goliath was 12 feet tall. Goliath was 15 feet tall. Some Bibles say Goliath was 6 feet tall. Okay, listen, he's about 9.5 feet tall, 9 feet 9 inches. The cubit, the length of the cubit never changes in the Bible. It's about 18 inches. So being 6 cubits in a span is that. Okay. He's about 9.5 feet tall. He wasn't just any warrior. He was the greatest champion of the greatest army that the Israelis faced. And he wasn't just big, and he wasn't just a seasoned warrior. There's more to it. He's protected head to toe. He's protected. He has a helmet on. The helmet comes down here, and then it wraps around so his eyes can see, okay, and then it continues on down here. And then he has a breastplate on that weighs 125 pounds. And the Bible tells us that he had bronze coverings for his legs. He had a spear that was about that big around, about 2.5 inches around. And just the tip of that spear alone weighed 15 pounds. Now, Goliath is a big guy. Okay, he was accurate with that spear, and he could throw it a long way. But if that wasn't enough, Goliath has a shield bearer going in front of him. So here's Goliath coming out and taunting the armies of Israel, and he has a shield bearer in front of him guarding him so nothing can happen to him. Every morning, Saul prepares Israel for battle, and Goliath appears on the opposite hillside. And Goliath's voice thunders across the valley, and he's taunting the people of Israel. Let's not trouble our armies. There's no sense getting all these other guys involved. I'll come and fight. You send me one person. You guys pick one person from your congregation. Just one. And come on up here and roll rumble and listen. If I win, then you guys do what I say. And if you win, then I'll do whatever you say. So this is the point that the armies come into. This was repeated morning and evening for 40 days. 1 Samuel 17:11. When Saul and Israel heard all these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is dismayed and afraid are two different things. Dismayed means they lost all hope, all confidence, all courage, gone. And they were terrified. This little dance takes place for 40 days and 40 nights. 1 Samuel 17:16 tells us that. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening. Listen, this wasn't unusual back in this day. Some of you have probably been here and heard this before, but opposing militaries would come together. Even this even happened in Rome. The opposing militaries would come together like they were with the valley in between, and they'd send representatives. Tim would send a scout, and Mitch would send a scout, and they'd come together, a representative, and they'd say, okay, what do you guys want to do about this? You want to fight it out? You want to just surrender? Or you want to just go home and call it a day? And so this would take place over sometimes weeks, like it did here, and they're trying to work out what they want to do. But now the battle begins. But it's not the battle that everyone thinks. David just doesn't walk up into the scene and kill Goliath. Doesn't happen like that. David has a whole bunch of enemies to fight between back here as a shepherd and over here killing Goliath. There's a whole bunch of enemies in between. And they are the real enemies. Goliath was simply the end result of what David went through. David's enemies then are our enemies now. See, David takes a stand for God. And David gets put down time and time again for taking a stand for God. And that's the battle David has to learn to fight here. And as Christians, that's the battle we have to fight. David's three oldest brothers were already on the front lines with Saul. They're in the military. One day, Jesse, David's dad, calls him and says, Hey, take some bread and some cheese and take it to your brothers up there on the front line, and because he hasn't heard anything. I want to know how the battle's going. Are they okay? Is everything going well? David leaves home early in the morning, and as fate or the providence of God would have it, David arrives at the camp just as Saul and his people are beating their breasts. So here's what David walks into. He walks into the Israeli camp, and they're like NFL quarterback in a huddle. And they're all getting together. It's like, okay, guys, this is it. Let's go. And they're psyching themselves up, and they're putting their swords on, and they're beating their breasts. This is the day. And so this is what David walks into. When he saw what was happening, he threw down what he was carrying, his bread and cheese, and runs to join the battle. This is the only thing David wants. He's not there for anything else, okay? So David, as he's talking to his brothers, it had to be an impressive sight. Here's his people, the Israelis, the mighty Israeli army. They've conquered nation after nation after nation. And by the way, when they conquered the judgment land and it said this king went against this king, it's more like the governor of Alexandria went against the governor of Johnstown, and they asked the governor of New Albany to join them, okay? It's not huge kingdoms, but there are a lot of people in their militaries. So anyway, David had to be proud of his countrymen as he walks into this, and they're psyching themselves up, and they're going to get rid of the hated Philistines at last. 1 Samuel 17:23. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, and David heard them. Now the Bible stresses here for the second time that Goliath is no ordinary soldier. He's the champion. He's the best of the best. He's been a warrior all his life. And just like that, David watches his army go from ready to go to battle to slinking down and running and hiding in their little holes like scared rabbits. In a millisecond. Listen, our opponent Satan, he's going to send people to oppose you when you take a stand for Christ. And he does that because he wants you to do the same thing that the Israeli army does. He wants you to just say, you're right, you know, yesterday I said a bad word, and who am I to tell you about Jesus? Let's just forget about it. See, Satan wants to do the same thing with you guys. 1 Samuel 17:24. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. This is what Satan wants you to do as a Christian. Just run away and shut up. Don't be sharing Christ. Don't be telling anyone about Jesus. So David overhears the men in the military, and they're talking among themselves. 1 Samuel 17:25. Have you seen the giant? The men ask. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He'll give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. This is a huge deal in that day. And so David here steps up to the plate. But it's not because Goliath is taunting Saul or his brothers. 1 Samuel 17:26, David talking now. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, this Greek, this Gentile, non-Jew, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now listen, David's question is two parts here. First, who dares to defy the living God, Goliath? And second, and why don't you guys do something about it? God's been leading you all this way, and he's never let you down yet, so why are you cowering back here instead of doing what God wants you to do? So the question has two parts. And although David didn't know it at the time, his giant, his enemy, has just arrived. But again, it's not Goliath. David asks again about the reward for fighting Goliath. What's going to be given to the man who kills Goliath? And then listen, your attack might come out of thin air. And I can tell you this from experience. It's going to come from unexpected sources. Friends, family, coworkers, people that claim to be Christians. Okay, that's where your attack's going to come from. But David was ready. 1 Samuel 17:28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking, this is David, with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know, listen, this is David's brother talking to him here. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is, because he was there when Samuel anointed David as the next king. And this is a pretty good reason why David passed over Eliab, okay? You came down here only to watch the battle. David's come because his dad sent him with bread and cheese to his brothers. That's why David's come. So listen, you listening, daughter of mine? First he attacks David's commitment to the family. What are you doing here? You left all our family sheep back here in the wilderness unguarded. So first he attacks his commitment. Then he attacks his character. You're just conceited and wicked. You're so full of yourself, you just want to come down here and try to show us all up. Then he attacks David's motive. The only reason you came down here is so you can enjoy watching this bloodbath, this big battle. It's the only reason you're here. It's David's brother. This is giant number one. Listen, you ever been sucker punched by betrayal? This is where David is. David's taking a stand for God. Listen, when you take a stand for Jesus, you will suffer the same attacks. And if you don't, there's a problem, because Jesus said you will if you belong to him. So you will suffer attacks. And it's about to get worse for David. David's taken into King Saul to hear the reward for himself. What are you going to give the guy that kills this Philistine? Listen, David isn't interested in money, and he's not interested in fame here. He's probably asking this in amazement. What are you going to give? He's going to give you all this stuff, plus God is fighting for you, and none of you are brave enough to go fight Goliath? 1 Samuel 17:32. Don't worry about it. I'll go take care of this for you. I'll go fight him. Now listen, Saul should have been thrilled to death at this point. Finally, this has been going on for 40 days and 40 nights now. finally, somebody steps up to the plate and he's going to go fight Goliath. Saul, as the king of Israel, every time Goliath comes out and taunts him, he probably had 100,000 people looking at him like this. You're going to take care of this or what? As the king and the leader of the military, it was Saul's job to do this. Not only that, but the Bible says that Saul, excuse me. We'll get back to this. So, where am I at here? Saul's a good head and shoulders above everybody else in all of Israel. So in other words, Saul is 8 or 9 inches taller. Okay, the average human head's 8 to 9 inches long. 8 or 9 inches taller than the second tallest man in all of Israel. So here they are, Goliath's coming out and taunting the Israelites, and here's Saul standing there looking down at everybody around him, and they're looking at him to go fight Goliath. And Saul, being the coward that he is, or maybe he was pretty smart because Goliath was pretty big, doesn't want to do it. So this is where David finds himself. Saul takes one look at little David. Should have been happy. Finally, one of my guys is going to step up to the plate and go fight this guy. Should have been thrilled. 1 Samuel 17:33. Don't be ridiculous. Listen, you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to be put down in every way possible. Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're going to hear that over and over and over in your life if you're a Christian. Just shut up and leave it at home. Save it for church time on Sunday. You're only a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth. Now listen, people will tell you that David was 30 years old at this time, 40 years old. David was a little boy, probably in his early teens. And we know that because of what happens when he finally confronts Goliath. You ever been doubted by everyone you know? Here's little David, and he's coming up taking a stand for God, and he's being put down by his brothers. He's being put down by the king. They're laughing at him. What would you do? David tells Saul something Saul doesn't know. David says, listen, I've already killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands. They came out of the woods to attack the sheep, and I just killed them. Listen, when David was watching those sheep, and that lion came charging at him from out of the woods, okay, David, he could not have been too courageous at this, but he believed in God. But David had no idea then when he's fighting this lion, and listen, you're going to be like this when you're attacked for standing up for Christ. David had no idea when he was fighting this lion that God was preparing him to fight Goliath. We don't always know what God's doing here, okay? But trust me, he is working on your behalf and he's working in your life. We never know what God is doing behind the scenes. David didn't know either. He just fought the lion and took care of the business at hand and trusted God to lead him the rest of the way. Listen, David didn't learn how to beat up bears and lions back here. What David learned was how to trust God. And David learned that lesson well. He tells Saul, the end result of this battle between Goliath and me is going to be the exact same as it was for the end result for that lion and that bear. Dead. I'm going to kill him dead. Once again, David says, I'll go fight Goliath. Not for any reward, but because Goliath dares to defy God. This is why the battle took place. And then he tells Saul, this is a done deal, which is good as done. 1 Samuel 17:37a. And David said, the Lord, look who he gives credit to the victory to, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Do you know and trust God to that point? He knew he wasn't the one fighting the battle. Saul at this point tries to dress David in his battle gear. Remember, Saul's the biggest guy in all of Israel by far, David's boy. Saul says, well, you better wear all this stuff, and tries to put it on David. And there's David and his dragon on the ground here. David's like, I can't fight in this stuff. And so he takes it off. David's brothers have mocked him. David's king has laughed at him. But it's going to get worse before the fight. Goliath approaches. First Samuel, we're almost done. We only got about 2 hours left. 1 Samuel 17:41. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. Who's the coward in this story? The coward in this story is Goliath. Listen, Caitlin, Sabrina, Aubrey, you guys listening? Listen, when your opponent attacks you for taking a stand for Christ, they're going to be big, and they're going to be loud, and they're going to be spewing spit. But they're little cowards inside. And that's what's going on here with Goliath. So when someone finally accepts Goliath's challenge, he sends an armed guard in front of him. 1 Samuel 17:42a. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. Here's Goliath, and he comes out. He's insulted. He's insulted that all the people of Israel, and you send this boy to fight me? And so Goliath starts cursing David. And this is what your enemies are going to do. And they seem like they're this big. Okay, but listen, to God, they're this big. Okay, but you don't know that at the time. When you take a stand for Christ, they're going to be, you dare send this boy to fight me? And Saul's raging and spits coming out of his mouth. And he's mocking David and he's mocking Israel. 1 Samuel 17:43. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? David didn't have sticks in his hand, by the way. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Goliath didn't know it, but when he invoked the name of his false gods, he was as good as dead. He was actually as good as dead back here. He taunts David further. Come here, little doggy. Come here, little puppy dog. Come on over here and fight me if you think you can. I'm going to feed your body to the birds and the animals. You think David was intimidated? Listen, would you be intimidated? Here's this guy. He's yay high. Almost up to the net, to the rim on a basketball court. And he's screaming and spitting and cussing. Would you be intimidated? That's your opponent. When you take a stand for Christ, your opponent's going to be huge and loud and threatening, breathing hatred. But it's all facade. You know what a facade is? It's a fake covering. It's a covering that people want you to believe something that's not there, that's not real. And that's how it is when you get attacked for being a Christian. See, they don't have anything to fight you with except insults. That's all they have. Here's how you respond. Zach, did you catch that I did this twice, by the way? I sent these words to you twice. 17:45-47. David replied to the Philistine. Remember, Philistine's looking down on David, and he's cursing him, and he's screaming at him. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. That's exactly what happens. David keeps that head as a souvenir for years. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Now listen, David doesn't just tell him, look, I'm not only going to kill you, but you see all those guys behind you? We're going to kill all them too. And we're going to do it because God fights for us. And we're going to do it so that the name of God, the fame of God, will go out through all the other tribes. And nobody's going to mess with Israel because they know that the God of Israel, fights for his people. To David, it's a done deal. Listen, Goliath was bragging on himself. David's bragging on his God, our God. And he tells Goliath, I'm not just going to kill you, I'm going to kill all these other people too. David picks up 5 smooth stones, and he runs toward Goliath. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Listen, guys, when you're put down for taking a stand for Christ, Never forget this. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You're just hiding behind this Jesus thing. It's just a crutch. How dare you tell me he's, you bigot. How dare you tell me he's the only way to get to heaven? I just don't believe that. I think the Buddhists are right and the Muslims are right. I think all these other people are right. You're just a bigot. So Jesus said, I'm the only way to God. Rejoice. Look, what's this word right here? This is King James. What's this word right here? Be exceedingly glad, overflowing with joy and happiness. When you're put down for taking a stand for Jesus, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Listen, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Be bold for Christ. Time is ticking down. Christ's return is imminent. It is imminent. It could happen today. Most of all, know what David know, that Jesus is the one who will fight your battles for you. 1 Samuel 17:49. The stone sank into the giant's forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. I love you guys. Can my deacons come down, please?